forth this week with the people from Route 40. They were talking a little bit about the Polar Coaster. You remember the Polar Coaster where the Sands used to be? They never built it. Apparently, the investors may be having a little bit of cold feet. And what I would say at this point, because that Polar Coaster involves a lot of tax credits given out by New Jersey here.
Let me just jump in with the observation wheel because, you know, stories are coming out that, oh, it's open. But, Frank, it's been open, right?
Well, they had an opening, but, you know, it probably wasn't open much because it has to be above 40 degrees. And, you know, between since the time they said it was opening, what, in the Christmas season, I guess it was, and now there have been a lot of days where it was under 40 degrees. The other problem I heard, and they didn't say this in this story, so I'm not sure what the wind speed is, but someone told me you can't go if it's too windy. Now, that could be a big problem because you could have 70 degrees and a lot of wind in Atlantic City. Atlantic City right now is not a year-round attraction.
Of course, right.
And they didn't do any business and probably had, you could probably count the number of people on one hand maybe, that went on the observation wheel during the winter. We know, again, as we said, we have no aggressive marketing plan here at all. Like, I got a story this week, $420 million budget. We don't have a public relations department in this city. I mean, it's pathetic. So basically, no business has a chance here in the wintertime. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen as far as temperature and weather goes. They said it was going to be a year-round attraction. Well, we know already that can't happen because of weather. So, and my whole thought about this, and that's why I brought it in with the Polar Coaster, is with these tax credits, we should go slow. We should see how this does, because this will be the real test now when the two casinos open. You're going to have 6,000 new rooms or 5,000 new rooms in front of you that you didn't have there last year. If it doesn't attract a big crowd once these hotels open for the summer season, then it kind of tells you that maybe it just isn't the right attraction. Again, I don't know how strong of a family resort we're going to be. I don't believe we're going to be. We're not going to capture Ocean City or Wildwood. We're not going to be that. You know, did it surprise anybody that with this marijuana law maybe coming up, Ocean City passed, they're not going to sell marijuana? Well, of course not. They don't sell alcohol. Maybe I was a little surprised about Wildwood, but they're true family towns. Wildwood a little in between Atlantic City and Ocean City. Ocean City, a true family resort. So, and that's nothing wrong with that. And I have people to stay at the hotel sometimes when they stay 3-4 days. They will actually go to Cape May or Wildwood or Ocean City for a day, and that's great. So, you know, we may not really have the clientele here for too many family attractions. So I think we have to go slow because you don't want to give all these tax credits away because already the state has invested a ton of money in the observation wheel. So if it's only going to be gone a few months a year and if it doesn't be a big hit, you know, it's going to be a big financial disaster. So I wish them well, you know, for that reason because so much money has been invested here. And, you know, we need non-gaming attractions. Is this one that will work? I don't know, you know, between them only wanting to bring millenniums here and, you know, that could be a problem.
No, and one point that, you know, that you brought out and, you know, maybe a Polar Coaster would be something that, hey, I went on it and I'm going to go on it again. But the observation wheel, I mean, once you've gone on that 15-minute ride for $15, I mean, why would you go? What would compel you to go back on? I mean, unless you're bringing someone, you know, unless you were totally impressed with it and said, hey, let's, you know, go back up there and you bring someone else up there. But I would think for the most part, unlike other amusements, you know, that would be a one and done situation. I just wanted to point out and tell the truth here that that thing has been open on select days. It's not opening this weekend like the fake news wants to. They want to make pretend that it hasn't been opened. So, I mean, you know, and they want to get all behind it and all this other, you know, stuff. And look, we want things to do well here. But look, when that becomes the third store open on the entire boardwalk or the third attraction, I mean, there's no compelling reason for people to go up on the boardwalk. I mean, it's
like,
crazy.
If the Polar Coaster was going to come here and use their own money, I would say, like I always do, let the free market reign. But since we're going to put a lot of tax credits into this, and it's prime real estate there that, you know, you would hope someday there'll be something functional where the Sands used to be. You don't want to put something there that's not going to be an attraction. And it could be the observation. And one thing we could say about the observation wheel without being mean, it does not look like it will be a year-round attraction because of the weather restrictions, of course. We're not in California here or Florida. And it doesn't look like to me it will attract 50,000 people a month to come here. People will go on it when they're here, but I don't think it'll actually attract anybody that is just going to come here specifically just to go on the observation wheel. And that's what I thought from the beginning. But like I said, I don't want to always rain on parades, and I always sound like I'm negative. So I do want it to work out, especially since the state has invested so much money in it. And I got a story today. It's going to tell you how bankrupt this state is. Should be investing money in anything. Now, I do have a story here about CRJ. CRJ, they're so funny. They put this story. You want to talk about fake news? They made it a big deal, King, that they sold 90 properties for $570,000, was it? Yeah. Now, folks, don't you think one of those properties should have went? That's only $500,000. That averages out to $6,333 a piece of property. it appears to me they kept all the good stuff, right? And they sold what? Swampland? Stores? I mean, you know, what are you trying to tell us here? You know, you have over 700 properties that aren't collecting any taxes. You basically have nothing to do here anymore. And you put up your garbage because to sell 90 properties for $570,000, I'm not very impressed with. The only thing that good that came out of this, I understand, because, you know, I said it was ridiculous that the new man coming, the mayor of Bryn Mawr, who's going to be taking over here as the new head of the CRDA, I said, what a conflict of interest. So he is resigning his job as mayor, thankfully, and that'll be happening in April before he takes over. But somebody said what I said, you know, and they feel the way I do, 175,000 big political cronies and a waste of money for New Jersey, $175,000 a year for the head of the CRDA. And I feel the same way. I mean, they basically have no function anymore. Sell those properties, put them back on the tax roll so we can get people to invest here. But apparently, ladies and gentlemen, they didn't sell anything good because when you really think about it, 90 properties, $574,000, that's pretty much a disgrace. Has our property gone down in value that much? Oh, dear God. I mean, that's like no money at all. So I just point that out before anybody thinks they actually did something great here.
But I mean, Frank, why do they have so many properties, Creda, and what are they going to do with them eventually?
They're land banking, and this is for all their friends, you know, basically, as we say, how corrupt the area is. And they took a lot of that area in the Lynnette, which they know is prime real estate. And that, you notice they didn't put that up for sale, King. Like I said, they would have been selling that for some money. I mean, they didn't tell us exactly where all these properties were, I don't think. But they had to put up the garbage because, I mean, they didn't get any money for them. You know, a little over $500,000 for 90 properties in Atlantic City. I mean, it shows you what's happened to the value here of everything, you know, especially our beach block.
Right, I mean, it shows you that what the fake news is because they were applauding it. They were
exactly. That's why I wanted to point that out.
Yeah,
how stupid that was.
They were falling all over themselves, kissing the butts of the Creda people. I mean, come on, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, $6,000 for a piece of property. Come on, that's pretty pathetic. For an island like Atlantic City, really is. So this head of the CRDA is going to be leaving April 10th, his new job. Actually, he's been the mayor there for two terms, and he has to get about 9 months left to go. But I still think it's a conflict of interest that we're bringing in a mayor from another city, but I am happy he's leaving that job.
So wait a second. So Frank, as the assistant, there was no conflict of interest, but now he's the director. Now there's a conflict of interest? I don't get it.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was on. I have to right. answer. I would have said something about it before. I never heard his name. Well, that's what you see. You have these people. They don't do anything. Have you heard about this guy while he was the assistant? No. Why didn't you hear about him? Because he didn't do anything, and he's probably making $150,000 not to do anything. So that's why the CRDA was set up basically just like the tourism district that we don't have, so we could create jobs so all these corrupt people could make a lot of money. It's what everything's about, from the DCA to the CRDA. You know, we got our meeting Tuesday, and the Burks wanted me to send you a message that the Irish pub's not going anywhere. Mrs. Burke's just going to go with the attorney on Tuesday. I can't go up. Mr. Burke can't go up because they'll arrest us. I can't look at these people, and Mrs. Burke's much nicer than us. But even Mrs. Burke's basically going to go up and tell them to kiss our ass because we're not going anywhere. We're just going to appeal. I mean, they're basically going to tell us at the meeting we already know that we have to be a high-rise. We're not a high-rise. This isn't anything about us being a high-rise. You know it's about corruption. So now we have another lawyer. We have two lawyers, and you know, we basically need to find out who ordered the Department of Community Affairs to change our classification, who their pimp is. And going forward, we have a big surprise for the state of New Jersey, and I think the next surprise that we give out everybody, it will really get everybody's attention, even though we know now, you know, the Irish pub has their attention, this show has their attention. We know we're the most hated business in the state of New Jersey, and that's good. We're glad that the state of New Jersey hates us because that means we're on the right track. Be hated by these scumbags, that's a good thing.
I mean, it would be nice if some other media outlets would actually follow this story that the DCA reclassifying and wanting to shut down the Irish pub. And I mean, I don't know why they're silent on this, Frank. We, of course, covered it on this program for a long period of time, but it is absolutely idiotic that one of the few businesses, a historic business in Atlantic City, the Irish Pub, has to go through all of these legal hassles for literally no good reason. I mean,
well,
I can't even think of it. Yeah,
we believe in the Constitution. We believe in people's rights. And, you know, we did sue over Tanger Outlet pilot bill. And I think that's enough reasons. In this state does bleed in the Bolshevik and communist ways, I swear to you. I mean, when I tell you today how bankrupt this state is, you're going to see how ridiculous it is that they took us over. And to show, you know, how corrupt they are, they put exclamation points on it by trying to close a business like ours down. So I can't really tell you what our surprise is. But I'm pretty sure that our surprise next time will garner not just local media, but I believe national media. And that's what we want, because I have family members, and as well as, you know, all of us at the Irish Pub, the owners, we believe that until we get federal intervention here for the state, for you folks out there with property tax relief, for all of us, that we won't get our rights back. Because when you have problems like this, sometimes in cities, you turn to your state leaders. Well, it's the state that's causing us most of the problems. They're more corrupt than the city is. So with that in mind, we have nowhere else to go but the federal government. So that's why we have to hope at this point that we can get our help from the federal government. We're not going to get any help from the state government. It is the most corrupt state government in the history of the United States of America. This is a criminal enterprise, New Jersey, and there's no two ways about it, and it's very unfortunate. But, you know, like I said, we're going to have a very appropriate answer to these people. You know, it hasn't gone unnoticed by us how they violated our constitutional rights and put us through the ringers here for a few years. And like I said, I think everybody's going to be interested. And that'll be coming in the future. You know, we sent a letter off to Miss Oliver, haven't heard anything back. So that pretty much tells me what I thought. She's just another figurehead like Murphy is. You know, they're not in charge. They're just figureheads. And as I said, it's a criminal enterprise. That's why Murphy was picked to be your governor 2 years ago. You keep thinking about that now. We told you that Murphy was going to be your governor when nobody knew his name 2 years ago, and we're not that smart. The state is that corrupt. They picked your governor, and your vote didn't even count. Hey, AC Hard Rock, they're going to have a VIP for outreach, a community liaison. You know, if every casino came here with the attitude they had, we probably would have a better city where the casino became part of the community, not isolating themselves from the community. And that's what happened over the 40 years that we had casino gambling here. And something I just found out this morning, if you didn't know this, starting Monday, I don't know exactly what street, but at the walk, the Hard Rock is actually going to open a preview. It's not going to be a store. I guess it's going to be called an exhibit. They're going to have Hard Rock memorabilia exhibit there. And they're going to have team members there to talk about what's coming up. I don't think you'll be able to apply for a job there. But it's basically just going to be an exhibit to get people excited. And really, it just shows you how they want to be part of the community. And there are some empty stores at Tanger Outlet. And one more coming. If you need any toys for Christmas, Toys R Us is selling out over there. I was by there yesterday. Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City say they want to be more than just another resort destination. They want a long-term relationship with the residents. And that's really the attitude that the casinos should have had from the time they came here, because casino gambling was a privilege. We gave all the casinos here a privilege. It wasn't a right to come here and have casino gambling. It was a privilege. And it still is a privilege as far as I'm concerned. As part of that commitment, on Wednesday, they announced the appointment of an executive who will serve as a community liaison, Rob Lee. He's the former community outreach coordinator for Gingoli & Son. That's the people that are building Stockton and I guess even helping to build the Hard Rock project. And Mr. Gingoli also, as we know, is a person who has invested money in Hard Rock, which I said, I guess it worked out well that he got the job over at Resorts. Over at the school, Stockton, so at least we are getting Hard Rock open here. They said their goal is to be part of the community and be involved with outreach programs and things. And again, we wish them all the luck in the world, as well as the Ocean Resort. I've heard nothing about good reports, but from these people at Ocean Resorts, that they're very smart people and they're going to really open up a very efficient place. And I think it's just so exciting this summer to have these two places coming on board. Now, you remember I did a segment a couple of weeks ago about the street lighting in Atlantic City. I want to read you this letter. It was on my desk from Mrs. Burke, one of the owners of the Irish Pub, this week. Frank, call the electric company and tell them that the streetlights are at our end of St. James Place, which, you know, they're out on every side street. They're out on Pacific Avenue, at least four or five of them, and we have about six, but most of them are out. And the absence of light is creating a lot of problems, and we had a customer walking down the ramp of the brook that night, and they fell because it's so dark. And so I called the electric company the next day, and, of course, they started already with the pole numbers. So I said, well, I noticed one pole has a sticker on it next to the ramp. It said 25. Well, that's not the pole number. Well, I said, well, who in the hell climbed up the pole and put the sticker on there? I said, first of all, the poles are between 145 St. James, which is our apartment building for you, and the ramp of the Borough, so it's not brain surgery. I said, you got to come out here and fix the poles. But, folks, we have a public works department. We have special improvement district that works under the CRDA. We have a $421 million budget, which we get nothing for. Do you not think that would make common sense, and that's all I have, to take somebody from the city, from the CRDA, Special Improvement Public Works, put them on night shift for a night or two, and have them go around the city? I know this is very brain surgery here, and have them write down all the poles that are out all over Pacific Avenue, all over the side streets, and have a meeting with the CRDA and the city and the electric company and find out who in the hell's in charge of all these lights. Pacific Avenue, the boardwalk, it should be lit like daytime. And it would at least be a lot brighter if they actually put the bulbs in the poles we have. We do have some polls, but most of the whites are out. And when you call the Electoral Commission, you get the same nonsense. They expect you to get on a ladder and climb up the polls and give them the numbers. I'm not in charge of the damn city. We got a $420 million budget. Can someone earn their stinking job here? We have our job. You know, we're running the Irish pub. We got property, real estate. King Arthur has his job. We all have jobs here. You're all well paid. You're all overpaid. For God's sakes, you could ride around the street and find out where the lights are out at and get this taken care of. We should be ashamed of ourselves. The stupidity, drug dealers, prostitutes, pedophiles, no lights, a homeless shelter near our convention center, a needle program near our tourist district, sex clubs near where children go to shows. If we aren't the stupidest city in America, we have to be. I mean, and we wonder why we give millions of dollars away like city council did. And, you know, we're not getting involved with this other radio station, which is blasting the story about the mayor. You know, no other news media has picked up what they're doing. And if this mayor of Atlantic City doesn't get charged with something, that radio station is probably going to be in trouble. And so are some of their people that are on that radio station talking about things. But the one thing I will mention, which seems to be true, is that DeLucri threw out the Democratic Committee complaint. So he's saying, just like they said in the $3 million case of the money that got missing between Langford and City Council, stupidity. And that's what I said all along. It's not going to surprise me that this is stupidity, because the whole city's stupid. Everything here is stupid. There isn't one thing that's not stupid, because if it wasn't for stupidity, we wouldn't have a bankrupt ghetto. We wouldn't have the problems we have. Common sense would have really solved a lot of the problems we have here. We have no one here with common sense. Like I said, we can't even light the damn city up, so it's ridiculous. So I wanted to mention that because I did this segment 2 weeks ago, and here was somebody who fell down the ramp. You know, I can't do it by myself. I'm not in charge. If I was in charge of the city,
and Frank, it's all over. I mean, even in my neighborhood, the lights are out everywhere.
That's my point. And they should have people going around, and they should mark down. And you have to do it at night shift. You can't do it in the daytime because you don't know what polls are there. So you take somebody off the stinking day shift for a couple of days. I mean, like I said, do I have to give them all the ideas? We give them the ideas, and you put people down, and you go make a list of all the stinking lights that are out, and you find out whether it's the CRDA lights, the electric company's lights, or the city lights, and you put stinking light bulbs in. I mean, how many people does it take to change a light bulb? I've said it before, we set a record because it's $421 million budget and we can't even change a light bulb.
Oh, it's funny. I heard on the radio how great Atlantic Electric was. So maybe that was incorrect. Maybe that was fake news, Frank. Apparently, they're not really doing a good job either.
I can't do their job for them.
Yeah, they want you to climb up a pole and give them the number? I mean, give me a break already.
The one's right in front of the building where I live. The other one's on the ramp of St. James Place. I mean, it's not, and then the other ones are in between, so you can't be any more specific. If you want to find the number, you get on the pole. You got bucket ladders, and you go find out. Not my job to work for the electric company, but it is their job, and it is the city's job. And I know that that's been a big problem here, that the poles apparently are controlled by three different groups. Of course, we don't do anything normal here. But fine, have a stinking meeting, light the city up. Before this summer comes along and all the tourists come, I mean, Pacific Avenue and the Bork should be lit up because people are going to start suing. I mean, if they fall down the ramp because there's no lights there, there's going to be more lawsuits, just like you got all these boards that you can trip on the boardwalk and fall. Have somebody go down there and bang the stinking nails in on the boardwalk. $421 million budget. Could somebody do something here?